see in a clapboard shack by a broken down tree.
There's a light in the window, two salty gals inside.
I'm not sure if they're witches, but you know that's implied.
Got the storytelling, ego swelling,
pillow talking, moonlight walking, sea hags.
Welcome to the Sea Hags Podcast. I am Chris Jeppa.
And I'm Katie Norgren, and slow roasting in the attic oven with us today is Ed Konya.
Yes.
Awesome. local comic.
Affirmative.
Awesome. Excellent showrunner of Stand Up and Deliver, the open Bless mic. Him. General all-around nice inclusive man, building a good comedy scene for everybody to benefit from. Welcome, Ed.
Oh, well, thank you. That was quite the intro.
Yeah.
I'm really feeling it.
I think you're nice.
Yeah. Oh, geez. Those are very kind words, and but I will accept all of your kind words.
And our kombucha. Cheers.
Yeah. Clink.
Yeah, when in Rome, as
yes.
you said.
What do you think? Do you like it?
I like it. It's very it's refreshing, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It tastes much better than I think it's going to every single time. I just assume it's going to taste like it smells, which is vaguely foot-like.
It's like a little sour, but it's got like some whatever. It's very good for your intestinal.
No, it's
good for
great.
Your guts. Yeah. It's good for the guts. It's good for the gander.
Yes, mm-hmm. That's the saying that we all know.
I'm a doctor, so it is.
It's good. I was not warm, and then as soon as we started, I'm just, like, sweating.
Yeah, so. No, we kept it cool, and then we shut all the exits to the outside,
yeah,
so now we're gonna cook. Just slightly. Just in a little pit oven here.
It's good.
It's fine.
So
now begins the time of the season where all we do is complain about how hot it is in here.
Great.
Yeah. Good. Yeah, well, that's, you know, obviously there's, like, a 3-degree spread in temperature where we don't bitch about the weather in this city, so.
And we didn't get it this year at all.
Yeah. So.
It went from one to the other, like, immediatement.
Yeah, so we don't get that, like, ah, this is perfect. I did have one day this week that was, like, it was sunny and it was nice, but there was a cool breeze, and I was like, great, this is wonderful, and then it immediately got, like, 4 degrees hotter, and it was just like, fuck!
Well, it's perfect-ish outside.
Yeah.
It's just on the bus, and then inside it's
oh god yeah the bus was great today, but the train was horrible. There's something crazy going on downtown. I have no idea what it
you
is
you said people
there's...
were in fancy dress.
Well, there was people in fancy dress, but when I looked it up online, all I could see was there's a Whitecaps game and John Legend is playing this evening. So that could be people making a day of it. I don't know.
Sure.
Heading on down, but it was packed, and of course I got one of the old Expo Line trains, so it's just greasy with sunscreen and no deodorant, and it was just so funky, and there was a child shrieking every like 3 seconds.
Man, I haven't breathed through my nose in public transit in years. I have to remind myself to breathe properly when I get off the bus.
Yeah, totally. But so, you gotta wait till you like move away from, because usually there's like
I do
hot
a,
garbage. Right,
yeah, I mean, I do a test breath when I get on, but it's just, you know.
It's not a good time.
No.
Yeah, I've noticed I switch to mouth breathing like very quickly anywhere in the city.
Oh, yeah.
Usually it's just like,
yeah, that's
oh, that
true.
Smells like hot urine. Oh, that smells like hot garbage.
Yeah.
Oh, like
hot urine. Check it and see.
Something, 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 something.
It's so stinky.
Pee. Oh, pee, come on.
Yeah,
don't
I got.
You know, it's just a puddle of pee.
Oh, there Lord. She's a songwriter.
I did it.
Yeah. I'm very unmanly when it comes to the bus, though. It doesn't feel like, I mean, it feels like a toilet on wheels, you know? I've turned into a real, like, I'm not a germaphobe necessarily, but there's something about the bus.
You don't just, like, tough it out. You're just like, ooh, I don't like it. It's yucky.
Nah, it's just, the worst one is, like, eating on the bus.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
Like,
yeah.
I can deal with almost everything else, you know, the guy clipping his nails and all that other
no.
stuff.
No.
I mean, I don't like
it's
it.
It's illegal forever.
Yeah, no, it should be. Believe
for
me, that. That bus would be.
We'll clip him to death.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. No, for sure. I'm with you on that one.
But the
number one on my list is like, and I don't like if it's like M&Ms or whatever. I'm like, whatever. I mean, you are still gross because you know the bus
you're
is
touching
gross.
The bus and then you're putting your fingers into your mouth. Like that's just not a good choice.
Yeah, but I mean, it's just the like they bring the smells. You know,
they bring the smell,
it's usually something sloppy that's fallen all over the place, and some guy, he's probably wearing sandals, you know, and that makes it gross.
Yeah,
and
like a chow mein noodle flops out and falls on his horrible feet.
And then
he picks it up, probably.
Right,
oh, no, Chris,
right, so.
No. You took that one more
step. I'm just thinking of Subway because that smell permeates everything, and there's no like. boundaries with smells. I'm so mad about scent, all the time.
All the time.
Where it's, like, when people come on with, like, the major cologne or perfume or, like, really stinky food on the bus where it's just, like, we're trapped in here together.
I totally got on a community shuttle last night with takeout. I feel really bad, but it was so good, so whatever. Plus, there's only, like, 4 people on it, so, and they were old, so they probably
couldn't
smell.
It's fine, Katie. You're part of the problem, but we still love you.
Thank you.
I mean, how else do we get our takeout home, truly?
I guess drive in a car or walk.
Yeah. I usually walk my takeout home, that's true.
But I couldn't get what I wanted and then take it home. It's too far.
Yeah.
It's too far.
You know, little sacrifices, I guess.
I had to make myself into what I hate to get what I wanted.
It's sometimes the things that we hate the most it triggers something in our own selves.
But if it's late at night and it's relatively empty or whatever, that's one. But it's just on a crowded, because there's always somebody who smells like pepperoni just to start with, right?
Just like a good greasy meat.
And then there's
that
general
just the base odor.
Well, and then there's that sort of general, cumin sort of BO smell.
Cumin is totally what it is. Yeah. It smells like cumin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's BO for sure.
Cumin
but
and pickles.
Yeah, yeah. And
the sourness of that is like not...
Oof.
Not
it's just that kind of potpourri of...
just a gross stew of humanity.
Yeah, yeah, so...
Ugh, I love the city. I hate the city so much. Like, I just, the duality of that feeling is so strong. I don't want to be anywhere else, but it's also terrible.
Right.
It's very bad, and there's so many of us, and we are not very considerate of each other.
Yeah, and I'm sure I'm a big hypocrite on some level. I'm sure I've grossed somebody out somewhere along the line, but anyways.
Yeah, you generally try to keep it.
Yeah.
Try to keep it undisgusting. My big pet peeve I've mentioned many times on this podcast is I don't like when people eat bananas on public transit because they are just little scent bombs of like gooey sweetness. And then they just have to hold the flaccid peel till they like get to a place they can throw it out. And I'm just like, oh, please don't leave it on here. Please take it with you. It's just the grossest thing. Yeah.
I've been developing, like, a weird food thing that I never used to really have where as soon as I'm finished eating it, I just want it away. Like,
yeah,
so every
you don't look at
every
it.
Dish that, like, you know, or I'm eating lunch at my desk at work or whatever, and it's like, I immediately have to go wash the container. I don't want any lingering, like, remnants. And I'm like, is there, like, some weird, like, food shame thing happening where it's like,
you know, don't want anyone to see the evidence?
Well, it's like, you know, when you watch porn and then you finish and then you're just like, oh, I'm done. Ugh, yeah. Get it away. I'm kind of starting to do that with food and it's weird.
Isn't that a Sophie Buttle bit?
Maybe.
The thing that comes up accidentally is the thing that made you close it in the first place.
Yeah.
It's never like the nice beginning of the video.
No, it's true. That's bad.
She's mad. So, Ed, you were in the Georgia Strait this week.
Yeah.
It was hot off the heels of your...
Well, certainly the online version, I guess. I don't know, maybe there might be a print version. It doesn't really matter, but yes, you are correct.
I am correct.
Yes.
Yes, I am. I did my research. Mm-hmm. It was a great article.
And it was talking about aforementioned Stand Up and Deliver. Or
tell us about Stand Up and Deliver. I mean, we know about it because we're in the know, but...
Yeah, yeah. Well, Stand Up and Deliver is the second longest running comedy open mic in town. I have to give props to Johnny Paul because, and I will, and this is an important point to make because even though, you know, I'm biased and I think our show is the best, and I think objectively that's probably true,
I've been to the 12 games.
and this is a big but, and really this is like, you know, Johnny Paul may or may not hear this, but there was a big desert of nothingness. Like there was, everybody talks about the Goldies era where like a lot of the comics, you know, kind of like the more experienced amateurs and some of the professionals came out of that era, you know, and it's kind of beloved era. And then Goldie's kind of went away. And then there was this era where I started comedy a little over 2 years ago, which was the Lux Lounge / Sin Bin era. And that was brutal.
Yeah.
I mean, Sin Bin was slightly better just because it was a small room. I mean, it looked like somebody's kill room. It was poorly lit and it was...
covered in plastic for no reason.
Right. Yeah, it was. Like, no, it had... It was like painted black. It was painted black, and it was like there were no windows, and it was in the back of like a sports bar.
Yeah,
and it was very like it was creepy, but it was run a bit better than the other one. But Lux was like it was just where jokes went to die. You know,
the
sight lines are terrible, and they did have some good shows prior to the open mic, but once the mic started, it was... If you can imagine kind of like the way the mic, like, if you can imagine, if, like, 12 Kings at the very end of the show with maybe one person there who's just there to drink.
Oh, God.
And you telling your jokes. That was Lux Lounge.
Oh, God.
But for another 12 comics, right? Like, maybe...
Everyone had to slog through them.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. And you either did or you quit, right? And yeah. So I think that was good. But then Johnny, getting back to 12 Kings, and that was the first good mic where you're like, oh, my God, this is... You know, like, that's, that gives you a reference point for...
Yeah, people are here, and even if it's mostly other comics, people are still here.
Yeah, but if you're telling a joke and it's all other comics in the room, at least if it's something new about the joke or it's a new joke, like, they're not going to not laugh.
Exactly, you get to test that still.
Right, it's an acid test for sure, right? Because, you know, we all know that... sometimes the laughs come a little grudgingly or maybe they're distracted, but... You know, so props to Johnny, because that was the first, that was the one that kind of got it all going. Because if you look around now, everybody's having their 1 year, 2 year anniversary of a lot of shows, right? Chords is having, like, they...
Minus.
yours is 1 year. And then I was just thinking all the other ones. So Johnny doing that really kind of got the ball rolling for all these other ones. Yeah. And then Benny's was the other one I'm thinking of. And then... Yeah.
Benny's is great too.
And now there's there's basically a show a night or two that you could go to.
Pretty much.
Which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. No, there's a lot of, like, little open mics and stuff. Like, Susie runs one on Thursday nights called The Bomb Shelter that I think, like, you
That's in Goldie's basement, right?
Yeah, the eight people or something can pre-sign up, and then, yeah, it's really late night, though, so I'll never go. But, because I don't start my night at 10:30 p.m., are you kidding me? Yeah. I'm ancient.
Yeah, and God bless Susie, too, because she does...
She works really hard.
So much. I mean, between her, like, the book shows and the mic and... You know,
does comedy.
She's just the unsung hero, in my opinion.
Oh, totally. So. Well, I'll sing her anytime.
Yeah, me too. Absolutely. So.
Excellent. She's a hoot and a half, and she works super hard. And, you know, we'd say the same about you.
Yeah. So anyways, I forget what the original question was.
Just tell us about stand-up and deliver.
So getting back to stand-up and deliver. What happened was some very new comic, a very new, nervous young man, thought he wanted to do an open mic, and it was at the current location, which is Seven Dining Lounge.
Okay.
And it was not well attended. Like, maybe there were like a dozen people who showed up for it. And it was really kind of raw and rough. And then after that, the guy who sort of booked for them, because they had a booker at the time, he said, "Do you want to take a crack at doing a comedy show here?" And I said, "Yeah, let me think about it." But then a lot of people contributed. Like when I was trying to figure out the format, like Stuart Jones, who had done a show there prior, he says, "Well, why don't you make it an open mic? Because at least that way the venue is going to have like 30-something comics. Buying beer and
it's a good way to at least start and establish a relationship with the venue,
so that way at least they'll get increased business, which is really what they want, and then what you want is a place to have a mic. So that was, and also you don't have to book it, you know, there's some things that are easier about it. But then I thought, well, you know, even though it's an open mic, I really would like somebody a little bit more experienced than me, and then that's where Sam came along, Tonning. He's just so knowledgeable about... The only thing he's more knowledgeable about, other than comedy, is music. So that was a great partnership, and it was a good cop, bad cop relationship where he got to play the tough guy, you know, and lay down the law, and I got to be the sweetheart.
This was all a manipulation time?
Well, it was...
I fell for it hook, line, and sinker.
Well, it was kind of unfair to him, but, you know.
Sucker.
Yeah.
Oh, I think he's okay.
He's okay with it, but I mean,
he's
obviously...
He's a Teflon Don. He's all right.
Yeah, it kind of worked for both. But anyways, it was a great relationship, and we did that for 1.5 years. And then we were like minded, right? There was so much crossover the way we thought. Like, my vision for this mic was that, and I was so naive, right? Like, I was thinking, I want this to be an open mic where regular people are going to want to come and watch it week after week, right? That it's going to feel like a book show.
Discover some new talent.
Yeah, it's going to feel like a show. Like, it's not just going to be like a depressing open mic, right? That was my vision for it, right? And I thought, well, you know, I don't want to pat myself on the back too much, but I think that's sort of come true. You know, like, if you go there now, at least for the first 2/3 of the show, you get a decent sized audience, and I count new comics as audience members.
Oh, totally.
You know,
because they're learning at the same time. They're experiencing, right, and they're enjoying it too, because they're just like, oh, maybe I could do this. Cool. Maybe I'll go up later. Like,
yeah, yeah. And also they're like, they don't know all of your material and yet they will. And then, and they'll become cynical too, I think the success of ours is that we really encouraged, we weren't snobby about it in any way, you know, like on one hand, obviously you have to tip your hat to the pros when they come in, they go up early, and then that's just the way it is, right? And that's the way it should be. However, we also, you know, if new comics were showing up regularly and if they were buying drinks and if they were bringing people, then they moved up the list, you know, because, that all that stuff is very important for the health of the show, right?
Totally. And so, incentivize it.
Yeah. And then so we wanted to be very fair and egalitarian about it. And we figured, you know, you got up late one week, we'll get you up early the next week. And we really tried to strike a balance there, right? You know,
going back to consideration, I think that's cool. Some people don't think about
It's consideration, but it's also, you know, healthy for the show in the long run, because then those people come back and they're like, oh,
they feel well taken care of.
So I think nurturing the new comics, right? Because I would notice other people kind of picking off our new comics, going, messaging them. I mean, I'm sure that, like, I don't know exactly how it happened, but it's suddenly these guys were over at that show, and that's fine. That's great. That's the way it should be. But I know for sure they started in our room and they kind of migrated to the other ones. And so I feel like, you know, it was a room that really encouraged people just to try comedy. You know, and then, because I just think it just goes back to maybe because I'm a real lefty, you know, like I'm a real socialist when it comes to most things, right? And so I felt like, no, this is, we're going to make this fair.
Comedy comrades.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know, so.
I like it. Yeah.
It's to me, like, the thing that I'm picturing is just like fertile soil for like people to grow, where it's like, no, you know, we've cultivated this and it's really good and you can plant yourself in here and like,
grow
a little bit.
And you could be snobby about comedy in a lot of different ways, right? Like, for example, like people tell a joke and it's a bad joke on several levels. Like it's offensive. It's low hanging fruit. It's easy. But you know what? Like, I'm not going to be a hypocrite and say I didn't do stuff like that when I was first starting.
Totally.
And then you eat a dick on a bad joke, and the punishment is built right in.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
you're like, it's really like a shock collar.
Yeah. So I mean,
bad comic. Bad.
Well, the silence is deafening, and it hurts.
Physically, it feels like being thwacked with something.
Right. So unless you get a person who's totally, like, out to lunch, and they just have no sense of what's going on in the room.
So, like, that's 10% of the people who come in, pretty much.
Yeah, okay, there's a percentage. Your number and my number might be a little bit different, but they are out there for sure.
The ratio is much different at the end of the night.
Right. Yeah, so, but anyways, I didn't want to be a snob on any level, because I figured, you know, like, you could pile on those guys if you want, but at the same time, maybe they'll learn. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe it might take them 2 years to go, you know what? I hate eating dicks, and I hate, people thinking I'm a jerk and whatever. And so they'll just learn, and they'll get better. Like, so I wasn't going to punish them over and above what they already went through on stage.
Yeah, that's fair. So it's like, you can still come back and try it out, but, like, you're going to need to write it a little differently.
Yeah,
comedy dad letting people face natural consequences for their actions.
We put up the noose, and, you know, figure out what you want to do.
Exactly as much rope as they need to hang themselves, right?
Yeah, and to me, it's a very natural process. I mean, that was my approach to it. And then so, like, the whole idea of having, like, even censoring and stuff, I thought, you know, there's no, like, if I get a reason to, like, Johnny had a very specific reason to do, like they can't do rape jokes at that one. And it's because, like, you know, staff complained because, like, one night, you know, they just went nuts. And it was, you know, and then it just, you know, pissed off a bunch of people and people who work there, you know, and it's like
bad blood with the venue. And again,
well, cause you're invading their space.
The
right.
The show,
yeah. Right. Yeah.
That's their job. Right.
Right.
Like,
right.
They don't want to feel threatened at their work.
Yeah. So you can't, so that was a very specific reason, but I mean, just in general, like I said, I'd rather
you guys do shut down things in like specific circumstances.
We do. Yeah. But it's
like white people using the N word a bunch or something like that tend to get lit very quickly.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll light people early. But also if they're just messing up the room, right.
Mm-hmm.
Because the thing is you want to, you know, you want the quote-unquote real audience members that are there to have a good experience and then to go, you know, for however long they stay, whether it's an hour. Maybe they just caught a half hour. They just came for dinner and they caught a half hour. But we want to front load that half that time on the show so that, you know, even though it might be seeing some new comics, and I'm not saying a new comic can have a good set. A new comic can have a great set.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, you that's why you you know put all the pros up early if they're there, and then you basically... So their sense of what the show could be is positive when they leave, right?
Mm-hmm. And then they might come back.
And they might come back. Yeah. And we've had guys... And now it's weird. Like, you have guys coming in, like, all hours of the night, right? It's like like we've got six comics left, and you got a couple come in, they want to have some drinks, and I'm like... And I'm like, oh, you have a few comics left, and quite frankly, it's, you know...
Slim pickings.
Yeah, slim pickings, and they're like, that's fine, you know, we saw the show last week, and we thought it was great, and then we just wanted to have a drink and hang out, so...
Well, that's really cool.
Yeah, so...
Right on.
Yeah.
I like it. I had some questions sort of prepared.
Okay. What, you prepared questions?
I know, I just, well...
Jeez, look at you.
Because I'm journaling now, and and so I read your article, and it just made me start thinking about other shows that, like, there's... an open mic that I played at in Edinburgh that was really amazing, and it was music, but, like, there were two different kinds of open mics run by the same guy, and he had more of, like, the Monday night drop-in at, like, the loud, raucous, like, Irish bar, and Whistle Binkies, and...
That's made up.
No, it's so good. It's... But he would, like, he would kind of, like, pre-book some people in different slots to, like, keep the energy up throughout the night, and then, like, fill in the rest, like, when people got in to sign up.
Yeah.
So I was wondering, like, you were saying, like, you don't really book folks, but you do the shuffle sort of on the night of.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, because you want to strike a balance, right? It's, like, for example, and Amber Harper Young calls it, what does she call it, the lady cluster, you know, where, like, you get a bunch of women in a row, and she doesn't like that. She's like, oh, well, guys, just use that as an excuse to go have a cigarette break. And I never thought about it that way. I'm like, well, I'm thinking, like, oh, she's experienced. She's not, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not even thinking on the gender level, and I probably should have been, but it just happened. That's the way the list went, right? Or this person signed up early last week, so she's got to go now, you know, and this person, because people who stay to the end of the show, they, you know, one of the rewards is they get to sign up early for the next week, you know, they were a little auto thing.
Because it just can go very late.
Yeah, that's just part of the whole socialist aspect like that we were talking about earlier. But then, and Sam is going to hate this, because, like, you know, he is the opposite end of the political spectrum, but you know what? He shouldn't have left the show. That's his fucking problem.
Now we took it over.
Yeah. No, but anyway, so. Okay. What were we talking about? So, yeah. So curating the show, I think, is a word, right? Yeah. So basically, yes, you try to strike some balance in there, whether it's male, female energy.
Or if you know some comic styles.
Or if it's experience. Exactly. You know, like, you'll get one comic up there who, you know, might be very talented, but he has stuff that, you know, might be challenging for some of the audience, right? And then you get another guy, you're like, okay, well, this guy just, you know, he just lobs big softballs at the audience and they bop it around like a bunch of seals. You know, so you kind of, you know, you really want to strike that. And you never know what they're going to respond to. Yeah. Sometimes you're way off. You're like, geez, they love that. They hated this. I'm like, geez, you know, like, you can't always predict what they're going to go for. Mm-hmm. But you try to do that as much as you can. And that's just the, you know, you want it to make it a good show.
Yeah.
You know, like, I think the mistake that other people who run mics do. I'm not talking about people in the city or whatever, but I think just in general. It's just that it's like you put out a list and then they go up in order, or, you know, they might have some rules like, yeah, the pros go first or whatever. But to me, you know, it's my show still, you know, and that's my audience and this is my room. Mm-hmm. So this is going to be as good a show as it can be. I don't give a damn if it's an open mic. Mm-hmm. That's my general philosophy about it. So. That's the part where that is more totalitarian than socialist. I'm like, no, this is my room. You know, I'm going to live and die by the decisions made here, so.
Yeah, because you're going to be there every week and you still have the relationship with the audience and the venue. That's right.
Yeah.
And the consistency of the show.
So you want to curate it, and they use that word, and I kind of don't like the word for whatever reason.
It just sounds snooty.
It sounds snooty, right? And I'm not a snooty person.
Well, that's
but...
like what I was like. My friend Cam, who did the other one, like he really curated, but insofar as he would be like, okay, hey Chris, like I know that you're really good. We're gonna put you on at 11 on Monday, and like would do all the behind the scenes. And when I first showed up, I was like, oh, just signing up, da da da. I thought it was more egalitarian. It turns out that he was like stacking the deck a little bit.
Yeah, and I totally respect that.
It really made for a really good show, and the whole thing was for like all the folks to come out to the pub on a Monday night and dance and have a good time, right? Yeah. So that makes sense. But It also felt a little unfair to me, Cam, if you're listening.
Because an open mic on some level is, you know, like, you're hurting a lot of cats, right? Yeah. And so you want to control things as much as you can, right? You know, we got a little controlled section here, and then it's, there'll probably be some chaos in there. Then then we'll get back to, we'll rein it in over there, you know what I mean? So just over the course of the night. So.
But it's cool. There's, like, a bit of artistry that you do in that way, like, and paying attention to, like, everybody's styles that come back week after week, and you get to know the comics, and you get to kind of know who you would shuffle where.
That's right.
But it's on the night, you're basically just given, like, okay, here's all your pieces. Now you get to arrange them into, like, some kind of beautiful comedy mosaic.
and you get enough, and the thing is, you know, you get so many out-of-towners now. Like, you get so many people come, maybe it's because of the, like, the Facebook presence or whatever. I don't know what it is, or just word gets around.
Yeah, people know they're visiting, they're coming through, and it's like, where can I go and work some stuff out tonight?
Yes, you'll have three doctors. We had like two or three doctors from New York City come through, and they were on with a conference, and they brought friends, and then so that
wild.
And yeah, and then you get guys coming up from Southern California and other places, and we just.
The like feet, to performer to watch.
Yeah, to perform, okay. But they might, like, a lot of these guys usually have regular jobs, you know, but they do stand-up in their hometown, so now they're on the road, they do stand-up in our town, and that's the cool thing about it, is that you bring it with you, right, like your guitar, right, or as a musician, right?
Yeah.
Or,
that's one of the best things about traveling now, is just like, oh, I can go make a couple friends for a few hours.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's really fun.
That's, I know, to me, it's like, it's weird, because I haven't traveled much since I started comedy, but that's what I'm looking forward to, you know, is now... You know,
the show's running a little smoother. You can leave it to Roman for a bit. You could go travel for a little while.
Like, yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, that's why you need at least one partner, right? And somebody who can MC, because, you know, people, you know, sometimes, you know, we do have guest MCs, as you guys know. And, but, you know, if they get sick or they whatever, and then you have to fill in. And then, and sometimes they have to leave, and then you have to fill in at the end of the show. But, so,
Yeah, no, it's good to be involved with as many people as possible right now. Like, my two comedy partners are both finishing their dissertations, so I'm kind of busy with the show, trying to get it mounted again, but we just finalized a lineup for our show, and we're doing it on the 25th.
Of May?
June.
June 25th.
25th of May was yesterday.
Oh, yeah. The day before. I know how time works.
Yeah, you do. We'll get back into the Wayback Machine. We're going to go to the sick show.
Yeah. June 25th. Okay, yeah, people 25th. Can mark it in their calendars
Please
now.
Please, put it down in your copybooks now. But yeah, we got a really, really sick lineup for it.
Yeah,
so.
I can't wait. You guys run a great show. I mean, I told Justin and Kyle as well, but I mean, that's like, it's the show where, like, you just treat the comics with such great respect.
Oh yeah,
you know,
we want everybody to feel nurtured.
Yeah, and
similar kind of.
Oh yeah.
Backgrounds to the both of you, like, just wanting to make sure that everyone feels
it's nice to get
good and respected, and then they'll come back again.
Amateurs as a professional, so, like, we've given a lot of people their first comedy paycheck, which is kind of cool, because if we make any money on the show, it goes right back into the comics, because it's like, we're also very socialist, comedy socialism. Mm-hmm. We're really, really intrigued by that, and because there's no profit to be made, like, you could hoard the money and still make, like, maybe $1,000 in a year, and why do that when you could just, like, spread it around a little?
And then someone gets $20 and that's, you know, they can buy some drinks at the next open mic they go to.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Totally. It's all a rich, weird economy of its own. You know, there's a lot of, it's a social economy. You do favors for people. They, like, take care of you.
And paying it forward is a big part of it, you know, because the other reason why, you know, because if you go way back, I've been in it for like less than 2.5 years. So when I first started and, like, Simon King was, I think, just getting ready to leave town, but he did a little impromptu. He has the podcast. He's got the one podcast where it was kind of in the back room of one of the kids' rooms, I forget, Displays. And then so he just gave a lot of free information to new comics. He's just like, hey, just buy me a drink and I'll just, you know, and that guy can yammer on.
What is podcast? Yeah. Would he do it solo, or he would, like, interview a new comic and talk about, like, advice? And...
No. This is just him just saying, hey, you know, here's all the information that of everything I've learned, which is a lot. And here's what you should do, and here's what you shouldn't do. And you just sit there and take, and which I did. And I was like, I was such a good student that way. I just wrote everything down. And the one thing he said was that, you know, if you're finding trouble getting mic time, and all new comics do, one thing you can consider is starting your own room, because mic time is a commodity.
Yes, quid pro quo.
Yeah, you give mic time, you get mic time. And so, you know, I think a lot of people sort of figure that out after a while. And I think that's why a lot of these rooms popped up. Because, mm-hmm. yes, we are egalitarian and all that. But at the same time, we're selfish. We want, you know, you know that when you give something, you get something. Mm-hmm. That's just kind of the way the world works. And so, and you want to be a person like, you want to be a good citizen, right? You want to be something who gives as well as takes. Yeah. There are a lot of takers. You know?
Yeah. It still throws me off sometimes when people just don't have the interpersonal skills to realize that they're asking a lot in a situation.
Yeah, and it's fine to ask a lot. Like, I think people have asked, like, when I was doing the book shows and like, they'd stretch themselves, right? You're going, okay, well, you know, like, when I was running the one-hitter quitter, like, the monthly comedy competition there, with Peaver, we'd have, like, I'm like, well, no, we have to get the best person for the money, right? So I'd be, you know, I got, you know, you get Bueller, you get Katie Ellen Humphries, you get Ivan, and whoever I can get, you know, at that time who's available, who will do it for that money, I want that person headlining, right? It's for the audience. For me, it's always about the audience. Mm-hmm. And then so, but I lost my train of thought.
Oh,
there.
It happens. About people stretching themselves.
Stretching themselves, right. So then people would, but then you get other comics who are like, they just want a headline. And they're probably ready to headline at other shows, but not this one. Because I'd say, look, I mean, I'm not as good as you are. I'm not saying I'm better than you, but look at who we've booked to headline these shows. Mm-hmm. Like, no offense, but, you know. And then so that becomes a little awkward, but then most people will go, yeah, I know, I'm stretching myself. And you mm-hmm. go, yeah, okay, cool. And then other people might get a little bent out of shape. Mm-hmm. And that's awkward because that person is more advanced than you, mm-hmm. right? You're in that weird position of being the new comic.
But you're the arbiter somehow.
Right. Like, yeah. And then you have to tell them, you know, in a very kind way that, you know, you're not on the level of the headliners you're booking. So it's mm-hmm. but it just makes you grow as a comedy person. Yeah. You know, you have to become a big boy or girl and you have to not be afraid of people and just say, hey, you know, so I had messaged somebody who's, you know, like mm-hmm. Colin Sharp, I would message him. I'd say, how do I deal with this? And then he would be always the voice of reason and he'd go,
it's like, come sit on dad's knee.
Yeah.
With this. Looks like,
and that's where you always want mustache. You want a guy with a mustache, you know, who's like some corny dude, you know,
like Bob
Ned
Bob
Flanders
Burgers.
Dude to say, okay, Ed, well, you know. And then it was always great advice coming.
You know,
back.
I'm 28 years old and in my many years of being alive.
Yeah, but he's like taunting that way where like they might be whatever age they are, but they seem like from the previous generation.
Sam taunting really truly looks like he just popped out of 1978 and just emerged fully formed.
Yeah, well, it's Stuart Jones had a great line about him. He's like, because I was talking about, oh, Sam's dad's coming to visit, you know, from Victoria or whatever. And he's like, I wonder what Sam's dad is like. He's like, they probably both wear cardigans, right? He says, I bet Sam carves the turkey at Thanksgiving.
He's the man of the house now.
Yeah. And it's kind of true because, like, I mean, I don't know if it's true, but his dad looks like a, kind of like, he could be kind of a lefty, university professor, which he probably isn't, but he kind of looks like he could be.
Okay.
And Sam, you know, looks like Sam, right? So it's like he looks like the more conservative of the two.
It's so funny that Sam would have like a leftist lawyer for a girlfriend. She's a pretty big feminist.
Yeah. But it's one of those
some
really
stuff just works. Some stuff just works.
Yeah, it's one of those kind of funny things where the chemistry is just weirdly right.
Yeah.
You know? Like they balance each other out, you know. He definitely needs someone like that in his life.
To rein him in a little bit.
Yeah. And she just thinks he's a big goofball and he makes her laugh. You know, so
great.
You know.
That's all I like that.
That's No, they've always I could be mystified by the relationship, but I'm not at all. I'm like, no, it works. I mean,
on paper maybe not, but in the reality, like there's so many other factors than just your politics that go into relationships.
Oh god,
Well, there's so many cute comedy couples too. Like that's one for sure. And then Stu and Anna, you know, Anastasia, that's such a cute couple. And
I don't know who those
Stuart
people
Jones.
Are. Oh, no, I didn't know.
But anyways.
He had a special lady.
But yeah, and they're so like, I don't know.
They're cute as heck.
They're so cute, yeah.
Aw,
I love
you're just
cute
kind
love.
Of a romantic.
Well, yeah. I am.
That's
fun.
Good though. It's nice to be a romantic.
Yeah. Your wife is lovely. She takes pictures for the show and like is pretty involved in some stuff. I don't know how much
she's taken almost everybody's profile picture.
Yeah. I know. Right. It's so funny when I scroll through Facebook, and sometimes it's even like the people that you know or just the people that I already know, and you just see the background that like...
The Seven Dining Lounge
like,
background.
Like our diffuser here, they've got like this right. awesome wood diffuser in the back, and so everyone's probably... I'm just like, oh, comic, 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 comic. Like you can pick them out.
Right.
That's all the same.
And the background is definitely part of it, but yeah. I told her, I said, you know, people aren't posting... just any picture from Seven Dining Lounge. They're posting your pictures.
Oh, yeah.
She's right. phenomenally talented.
And she captures some, like, really, like, good action shots. You know, that's not easy
to do. The people's personality comes through a lot in her photos. Mm-hmm. Like, I have to call myself out on it because I'm like, oh, what a big galoot I am. I'm such a... Yeah. And, like, you can feel Neil Webb's weird energy coming through, too. It's like, oh, it's all contained in the bun.
Yeah, and that's... and getting back... Yeah, I mean, the success of the show, like, she is huge, you know? Like,
it really does contribute to the social media presence, hey?
Absolutely, like,
a little logo in the corner of the photos,
because it's so visible, you know. Oh, yeah. It's so visible on like in the Vancouver stand-up community, and then like their like friends are like, hey, where was that taken? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, can I come and see you next time?
Yeah.
and then so it's just become a very sort of iconic thing.
Yeah,
you know,
it's a bit of a signature.
And that's all her, right? Like, I'm trying to even remember how it started. She's like, I didn't ask her to do it. I mean, I might have asked her casually, just, hey, do you mind taking a couple of pictures? Because she was a real photo bug when we first met,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, we've been together for, like, it's going to blow your mind. Like, in August, it'll be, like, 30 years.
What the fuck?
How old were you when you got together?
I was 20. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Holy crap. That's
yeah.
nuts.
Yeah,
that's
awesome. It is nuts. It's nuts and it's awesome and it doesn't feel that long.
Yeah.
Like, for me to say the number, like, it's hard for me to wrap
you
my brain
sweeties,
around.
I like that so much.
I don't know why, but I thought that the two of you had been married to other people before and then, like, got together, like, in your 30s or something because you seem to really, like, really like each other.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's why I was like, oh, it's like one of those little late in life they figured out what they wanted. But no, you figured it out pretty quickly.
Yeah, no, the thing is, it's weird because, like, so much of my life has not worked out. Like, a lot of people, right? You're like, oh, my, it's just a big garbage dump over there, right? Just,
yeah.
You know, and you know, I don't want to get into the details, but then there's one part of your life where it's just, like, it just worked out. Like, you didn't have to try hard.
Yeah.
It was just,
yeah.
It just somebody up there just said, you know what, let's
we'll give
just,
you this one.
We'll give you this one, pal. You know, you're not that bad a guy, you know.
This will keep you afloat so you can deal with all the other
right,
shit later.
Right, seriously, you know. And that's a whole other, that'll be a whole other show, maybe.
Well, yeah, I mean, we hope to do this for a long time, but we don't know that many people.
Yeah, yeah.
Please come back.
Yeah. Oh, this is great. No, but it was a gift, but it's like, you know, it was so, but the thing is, we also spent stretches of time apart, mm-hmm. you know, like, just not on purpose, but, like, I had to go work for 3 months at one point in, you know, down the States, and then we spent a year apart before she moved out to Vancouver, you know, because we grew up in, just outside of Windsor, Ontario.
Right.
You know, and it used to be called Sandwich, well, I'm not going to. LaSalle is called now. But
I had an onion tied to my belt, which was the style at the time.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, it was very rural,
yeah.
You know, and it was, very kind of, like, they had standardbred horse racing up the street from us, you know.
Oh, okay.
And my next door neighbor, who was kind of the first girl that I kind of made out with, she
romance
was,
story.
Yeah,
you're,
yeah,
you're
she,
so classic,
they had the, well, no, that she, well, you know, she, it was all her, you know, I mean, I was very naive, but anyways, they had, like, they bred the horses that were in the Windsor Raceway, which is just up, you know, further up the road, so it was like, like, I had a 65 house paper route, right?
Uh-huh.
With big gaps between the houses. Like,
yeah.
It was, you know, built some serious character, like, just mowing our lawn and doing that paper
built
route.
Character, built calf muscles, more
yeah,
like.
Absolutely, man. Like, if you see these legs, like, I'm very proud of these legs, man. Like, this up, yeah. I mean, you'll see, like these
you'll
are like,
see.
Yeah.
One day you'll all see.
If it gets hot enough in here, like I said, but I mean, between cycling and that paper out.
That's exactly what I told him.
Yeah.
That's so funny. That's exactly what I messaged you. It was like, well, if it gets too hot, you can cut your jeans into jorts.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. And that was the style at the time.
We were just really into jorts. You got the real, like, Letterkenny vibe growing up. Yeah.
No, but it was like, I don't know, Huckleberry Finn or something. Like, it was a different life altogether.
You're whitewashing fences. And...
We literally built rafts out of, like, tractor inner tube, like...
Tire thing?
Oh, yeah, and then we'd put boards on top. We tied together with ropes, and we'd go down, like, what's called Turkey Creek, which is a tributary of the... of the Detroit River. Yeah, and there was like they had like snapping turtles, and they had like golden like golden carp like in the water. You know,
could you go noodling in the river?
Well, you could, but I mean, it was, you know, like the key aspect of that. Snapping
turtle take your finger right off.
Oh God!
I did mention it was a tributary of the. Like an offshoot of the Detroit River.
You probably don't want to eat those fish.
No, you don't want to eat the. And the fact that the turtles were alive was remarkable, you know?
Like, they, like, turned into that. What did they call it? Like, Fordite, I think it's like a fake agate that's made out of just, like, collected paint from the Ford factory.
Yeah.
Have you seen this before?
No.
Either of you? It's the collecting of the paint, like, in the bottom of the factory floors that has, like, compressed over time, and it looks like agate.
Yeah, yeah.
And they sell it, like, they cut and polish it as if it were actually a gem. And it's called Fordite.
That's
from the Ford paint plant, basically. Isn't that neat?
It is neat.
I'd make that a little picture on there, because I love stuff that is made of things. Let's just keep it real broad, you know?
Good. Yeah, but, so, you know, getting, like...
Detroit water,
and the only reason I bring it up is that, like, I was, like just some, like, not a farm kid, but I was, like a country boy in a way.
Yeah.
And Joan was, like, the suburban girl. And she was, like, best friends with my sister.
She was your uptown girl?
Yeah, in high school, like, we're 2 grades apart. Like, she's 2 years, like, grades... older than me, right? Which is very scandalous, especially since she was my sister's best friend, right?
So
there was some tension there, but so
hopefully,
but I mean,
she got over it.
Yeah, which everybody got over, obviously. But
they've had some time.
Yeah. So, but anyways, it's hard to believe it's been that long.
30 years. That's really cool. Yeah, my parents recently celebrated. They're like, that's so young. You got together because my mom is my dad's third wife.
Mm-hmm.
And they still got married in, like, 81 or something like that. So they just recently celebrated 35. I guess more it's, like, 36 now.
Mm.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. It's good to be in love.
Yeah,
it's nice.
Yeah, but I mean, like, you know, it's that cliche about them being your best friend. That is true. She is my best friend. But, like, that also kind of cheapens it in a way.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, I got friends, and then there's Joan. Right?
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, and my best
super
friend,
super best friends.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, my current best friend is a lesbian, right? And which is weird because it's not weird at all. Like, I don't want, you know.
It's okay. Podcasts are great because you have lots of time to unravel the story.
Right. Okay, so just stick with me on this one.
My poison darts don't come out until you say something way more offensive.
Right. Like, it's not, there's nothing weird about, like, it's funny because Jenny Taze made fun of me because I tried to tell this joke about how my best friend was a lesbian, right? And I kind of gave some examples of things that, like we could sit down and hang out together. And like I said, like, you know, lesbians objectify women too, you know, and which is great. You know, you sit around and drink a beer, like, but the only difference is, you know, like they'll tell you when you cross the line between man and pig, right? You know? So, and so I thought I had the good beginnings of a joke and everything, but she, like, her takeaway from that was like, oh, Ed's so impressed with the fact that he's got a friend who's a lesbian, right? And I'm like, well, it's not the fact that I've got a friend who's a lesbian; it's the fact that I'm a guy my age. And my best friend is a lesbian. I think it's just an odd couple relationship. That's what I find funny. You know, it's not, like, it's not,
cute.
Yeah, you know what I mean? It's cute, right?
It's amazing how much somebody could just say one thing, and you're just like, no, wait, actually, like we're so fucking insecure, all comics. Like, when I was on the horn with Justin and Kyle, like my...
You were on the horn with them, were you?
Burr, 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 burr. Yeah, we were in the group chat, if you will.
Yeah.
And I was just talking about, I'm hosting The Junction tonight, and I'm working on some, like, contextual jokes. And Justin says to me, oh, are you going to do a joke about how it's a gay bar and you're gay? I was like, no!
Not anymore.
No, I'm not... Yes, but reader, I was. And I did. That's all I did jokes about, because it's all my jokes are about, and I had a crisis of confidence. So my friend is horrible, is basically what I'm saying. And you're going to roast battle him.
I am going to roast battle him, yeah. I mean...
You're going to cream him, I hope.
Well, I that's my hope as well, you know, but...
It's so many more to give you than him. Like, the only one I could say is that you look vaguely like John Horgan when John Horgan puts on a baseball cap.
That's pretty
much all I got.
Well, Joan thinks John Horgan's good looking, so, you know, I'll take it.
Right, he's the master frolfer.
It's been established on our podcast that he's
kind of a
pelf. Cute. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, sure, I'll take it.
But Justin O'Hearn is so eminently make-funnable.
He's so make-funnable. I don't know what anybody can say about you. It's like, you kind of just look like a Bruce Springsteen song came to life.
Wow, these are all just compliments.
They are! That's the thing. I'm like, what mean thing can you say about Ed? Oh, he's old.
That's what it becomes. It becomes basically, it's a lot of old jokes, right? And like Johnny Paul's favorite stuff is like...
Johnny Paul's like your age!
Well, practically. But no, he's like... He's just young enough, that's why he likes having me around, right? Because it's always nice to have somebody yet older.
To offset a little bit.
Yeah, so he's always, making jokes about, Ed looks like, he's dressed like a guy. Because I was wearing, like a toque, which I do wear in the winter, but I happen to be wearing, a plaid shirt, right? So, Ed's just dressed like how he thinks young people dress these days. Right?
That's in youth disguise.
Right. Ed's trying to
Hello,
fit in.
Hello, fellow kids.
Yeah, and I'm like, well, not really, but it's a funny joke, right? Visually, it's funny. Yeah. So, that's about as harsh as it'll probably get, especially with Justin, right?
Well... We'll see.
But he's
fucking stone cold brutal. He, when we first met, he made fun of me. Really,
what did he
say
about you again?
Just something. There were some digs at stuff. Not as bad as Roman Mancini roasts me constantly, I really love.
It helps that Roman's, a good-looking guy. Because if he was ugly, I'd be like, shut up. Stop talking to me. Instead, I'm just like, fine. I'm stupid.
I know. with Roman, I'm just like, ugh, negging works. It sucks.
Roman, don't listen to this podcast retroactively, please. Not that he's going to. It's not about wrestling.
Whatever.
It's not about wrestling or transcendental meditation.
But, Justin has, he's got this kind of, emotionless... cutting through the quick, where he's just like, oh, well, that's blah, 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 and you're just like, no nuance, that's not nice.
And you can't get back at him because he doesn't have feelings like a person.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we'll see what happens.
I got, a crap load of, while I was hosting the Junction, the group chat was doing some of these horrible, horrible jokes about dead celebrities, and they wanted me to go up on stage and do them. I was like, I don't think that that's ever going to happen. I don't think that that's a thing that Katie Norgren does. But
save it for the podcast.
But save it for the podcast, right? I was going to.
So you got some there.
Yeah, I was going to try to look them up, but if we just wait for me to do it, it's going to be very awkward.
No, it's fine. I just, I wanted to chime in just about, the loving your best friend or, relationships best friend thing, because I feel the same way, about my partner, also Ed,
right.
Also very awesome dude, and it's he's not my best friend. Katie's my best friend.
Yeah.
We gab about everything that, I wouldn't talk to Ed about, and it's oh, but don't you feel like you're walling off a part of your whatever? It's no, he's just not interested in that stuff.
Right, right.
And he really, he hates gossip and shit talk.
I love it.
So Katie's the one that I can, work out some of the darkness.
Yeah, yeah.
So that I'm not bringing it home and just, griping about whatever. And, I can vent about work to Katie, whereas, Ed and I, we keep it a little separated, and we just enjoy each other's company. I like that, actually.
Right.
I think it's healthy.
Yeah, exactly. So. And, you get different things from different relationships, I should protect, because it's funny about my friend I was just talking about, because she's on one way, she's very private, but another way, she loves when people talk about her.
Yeah.
So.
Is she the friend that likes Buffy the Vampire Slayer?
Yeah, so I'll call, for the sake of this conversation,
we'll call her Buffy?
Flangey.
Flangey. Oh. No, wait, that's too close. Let's call her Angie S.
I thought you were going to call her Buffy. That'd be fun.
Yeah, yeah. So, but no, she, she's great, but she's kind of but she's also one, she's very small and she's very feisty and she's very loyal.
Yes.
And those are all great qualities, right?
Yes.
It's great to have somebody
like
that.
It's
like
your right hand.
She's my Snoop, right? Did you guys ever, watch the Wire?
No, but I am familiar with the character.
Yes. Well, she's very much that, right? You don't want to get on this small lady's bad side, right?
Yes.
But it's great to have her as an ally, right?
Yeah.
She's super loyal. But we just joke about just dumb stuff. It's more of a brother-sister relationship, you know?
That's fun.
And we talk about hot chicks, too, so.
Yeah, and it's just fun to have somebody to, shoot the shit with and, kind of go a little bit dark and
Well, we've
fun,
worked
like...
some of the same jobs together. That's how we became friends, right? So we, we kind of, we got used to bitching about the same people and doing that. So we bonded over that. Over idiots and...
We bonded over idiots.
Yeah.
But, those are the things that, you don't really bitch about work with your partner if you can help it. It's nice to
You try
kind of
not
bring
to,
because
you
home,
want that separation.
Yeah.
It's not just because... you don't want to dump it on them, but there's that. But there's also the fact that you just want that separation between work and home.
Yeah.
And you feel like when you talk about work shit at home, that it robs you of your home time.
Yeah,
you
know? Exactly. Like, so, the joy that you can have in peace
it's
and
the
quiet.
Reverse, it's the reverse of you know, doing a number two at work, you know? Like, you know what I mean? Where you feel like you're taken back a little bit. You know, it's the reverse of that, so...
Now I'm on my time.
That's right. Yeah, I'm taking. Yeah, I didn't get that bonus, but you know. So
I found them. They're very bad. They're very, very bad. I'm gonna actually.
But I want to hear these coming out of your mouth.
Oh, but it's so okay. But this one is Gavin Clarkson's. Like, let's be honest. Okay, that it was his horrible joke, which it was all just awful jokes about dead celebrities. So this one was: did the lead singer of Queen pass his AIDS on to anyone else? And if so, did they all die of mercury poisoning?
No. Jeez. I don't know.
I don't want to take a bath now.
I think I might be almost too sensitive for this. We'll see what happens.
We'll see.
I was watching. I just started watching the Chris Gethard show on past guest Denise's recommendation. They did one with Pete Holmes that it was all about censorship.
Yeah.
And they had everyone in the audience had a little red flag that when you reach your line, you could wave it, and it would be like the community consciousness to see how far you could get away with stuff. So I'm just like, I raised my little red flag.
Oh, okay. Right, I'll stop.
No, it's fine.
Okay.
Give me another one. All right. Just for that joke. That's
okay. Here's another. Wow. This is all. Gavin's are the worst. He's such a bad boy, and Kyle's are surprisingly bad too.
Oh, what? That little sweetie.
This is another Gavin one. I want to die overcoming my fears, like Philip Seymour Hoffman and his phobia of needles.
Oh,
oh
no.
Oh, and then Kyle's response to that was the great thing about Heath Ledger is that this was his method. In fact, he died researching his latest role, overrated dead guy.
Oh, jeez.
These are all so bad.
This feels like that thing that you keep in the private group chat.
Oh, yeah. No. They wanted me to do them on stage, though. They were, like, after me to do it. So that's what they get.
Great.
Basically. But I didn't have any of Justin's in there. Surprisingly, his weren't terribly dark. He was probably actually working on his dissertation.
Oh, fair. Which is dark enough in its own, with bottles going up the
hoo-has and the humdrums and the...
Yeah.
It's quite... Yeah, he reads us something from the earliest erotic gay novel, I guess, and it's not very erotic, actually.
Yeah. The title
it's
of the
horrible.
Episode is called The Bottle Incident, so you can imagine.
Yikes.
Yeah.
It's yikes.
Yikes,
it's
my bikes.
Yikes, my bikes, but he is...
Yeah, I'm very vanilla when it comes to sex.
I don't actually necessarily think these are his kinks. He just writes about them.
Well, he just did a PhD on it, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean.
It's got to be that freaky stuff. He probably just likes to be wrapped up in a fleece blanket with a cup of tea, and that's his weird sexual thing.
Yeah. Just cozy to death.
Oh, I wonder if there's a joke in that, basically, just that he's like, he does such weird stuff.
And he smokes
that
a pipe, right?
He has one,
yeah.
I assume
and
so.
And that mustache. It just,
oh, God.
With his cardigan, right. Yeah. I can picture the whole thing.
Yeah,
he's
got
a fireplace.
Well, come on, he's like,
sure.
Yeah, professor, like, PhD in Victorian pornography. Like, that writes itself, doesn't it?
Yeah,
like,
he wants you to come back to his study, his mahogany study to see his etchings.
Yeah, literal etchings, though, in his case.
Oh, yeah, for sure, etchings are like lino prints of boobs
and like,
dicks.
And, like, you gotta wonder, like, yeah, someone that studies that, like, what is their relationship to the source material? Is he secretly
do we have
super,
to think that
super dark into it?
Yeah.
Or is he just like, is it an intellectual curiosity? But it's like, you know that he's
fucking
into it.
Yeah, he looks like a bit of a weirdo, so
he's gotta be into it. He's gotta be into some weird shit.
Yeah,
he's got it.
Does he ride his penny farthing to the bottle orgy?
<I guess.
laughs> He's such a goober. He's got a parasol collection, I'm sure of it.
So, stand up and deliver.
Yeah.
Do you remember, so we talked about sort of where it is now.
Yeah.
And that it's, like, this quite, like, awesome, like, nurturing place for, like, new comics and, like, established comics to come. And it's, like, pretty, you know, you had Maria Bamford drop in. It's, like, a good room for folks to come to. Do you remember when you first started? Like, was it taken up pretty quickly, or did you kind of struggle to sustain it? It was just, like, the same five people came every week, or do you remember that kind of...
Yeah, well, first of all, like I said, I didn't know that it was going to be an open mic when I got the opportunity.
Right.
And then, like I said, Stuart said, yeah, do an open mic. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, now it's an open mic. So then, other people contributed. Like the nice thing about it is it does have that great stage
mm-hmm.
and with the great lighting. Without that, you wouldn't have the great photos, right?
Yeah.
And then, mm-hmm. so it's a great venue, but it's kind of, it's plug and play, right? You know, it's easy to set up, but the best thing about it is, like, the area where the tables and chairs are is open concept.
Mm-hmm.
So it was set up, like, in a kind of an awkward way with, like, the tables, like, long tables going, you know, it...
Towards
you know,
the
yeah,
stage.
Yeah, like, not facing the stage, right?
Yeah.
So then John Guy said, you know, why don't you set it up like a comedy club, you know, like just with all these seats just facing forward. And I'm like, yeah, let's do it. So mm-hmm. we did. And then the staff is great because, like, even if they have another event, they'll set it up like that for the show.
Oh, that's nice. Really nice.
Yeah, the staff there is so great. Like, I got to get a huge shout out, particularly, I mean, Alyssa, who's not there anymore, but Patrick, you know, Patrick is like, we had what must have been it was our biggest alcohol night ever. And we've had,
mm-hmm. big nights.
Well, yeah, because One Hitter Quitter was like, you get votes based on drinks. And right. So I remember Ed and I were like, you get like more tickets for martinis. So we were just like, keep them coming. And then we voted a whole bunch. He still didn't win, but we got so wasted.
I come number two every time.
Yeah.
But we were there for it. Yeah. Our livers were there for you.
Yeah. And so we've had big alcohol nights, right? Yeah. And you guys have been there on some of them. You said this is probably our biggest sales alcohol night that he could remember. And he, the woman who was supposed to be there to help him, she couldn't be there, so he was there on his own serving.
Holy shit.
And so this guy is like, he's a superhero.
Yeah.
So big shout out to Patrick Randall, who is the bartender slash, you know, everything of server there. Yeah, he's more than a server. He's just...
more than a server.
Yeah, we couldn't do the show. Like, there's so many contributing parts to it. You mentioned Joan, who takes the pictures. You mentioned Sam, who is such a great partner, who I... you know, like, I'm like, you know, what, how, should we do this? And he's like, no, don't do that, you dumbass. You know, like, not like this, but, you know, like, kind of like that. Yeah. You know? Kind of like, yeah, so he, like, you know, taught me a lot. And then, obviously Roman, like, who's taken over, because it was such a smooth transition, mm-hmm. you know. And now the only
one
bad thing about...
bastard for the
yeah,
next.
I mean, yeah, exactly. But the nice thing about Roman actually coming into play was that... you know, he's just so easy to get along with. Mm-hmm. But the downside is that, like, now I got to be the bad cop, right? Mm-hmm. Which is not a comfortable role for me, right? You know, because he's so placid, right? You know,
yeah.
And he's just so easy to get along with, and then he'll go with whatever. But so I'm like, ah, so, like, you know, we had a little bit of drama. I don't want to get into it, but there was some drama last week.
Ooh, hot goss.
Yeah, and if you talk to enough people, you'll find out what it is. So I don't like to encourage that, and I definitely want to.
I stopped following the forum, so I never know what's going
just,
on at any
time. It was just, you know, it's just young people being young people getting dramatic over stuff. So, anyways,
I can't wait to find out.
Yeah, but it doesn't happen very often, and I think they're just probably just a one off. It's not a big deal, but. I had to deal with that, which is not, you know, I hate pulling people aside and mm-hmm. having to say
tell
stuff.
Tell them what's up.
It's just awkward, you know, and weird. But I'll do it mm-hmm. for the sake of the show, so, yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, go you.
I was just going to say, I'm finding it much easier to deal with confrontation mm-hmm. since I started doing comedy. Like, at first it was really upsetting for me if I ever got into a conflict with somebody.
Right.
And now it's just kind of like... I will just keep going with it. Like, I had a bit of a, not even an argument, but just like a real difference of opinion with somebody that felt really like threatening at first. And so I just kind of let it sit for about 10 minutes and I went back and said, hey, I'm sorry. I think I overreacted a little bit there. They were super cool about working it out. So it was normally I would just like stew about that forever. Right.
Yeah.
And just like, they hate me or whatever. Yeah. Maybe I hate them, but I'm like, no, we have a difference of opinion on this. It's fine. But here's, you know, how I feel. Here's how you feel. It's cool that we don't agree, but just like, be chill about
when
it.
When you run a show, particularly a show that you really care about, mm-hmm. it does make you have to develop interpersonal skills mm-hmm. because, you know, awkward situations will come up and mm-hmm. you have to just handle it mm-hmm. for the sake of the show. And so you do. And it's actually, like you said, it turns out to be actually not that bad.
Mm-hmm. The idea of it is terrifying.
The idea is terrifying, yeah, or it can be.
It's not pleasant. Like, it's a bad feeling. Like, when you actually do get it resolved, it feels much better.
Mm-hmm.
But I find, like, people, there are a few people who definitely don't really want to take responsibility for themselves. But by and large, most people, if they're being called out for something, they're like, yeah, you know, I'm sorry. Like, if they've ruined the show or something like that, they'll own up to it and they'll try to do better. That kind
yeah.
of thing. And I think people do want to be good.
Sure. And the thing is, the hardest thing for me, though, is like, I just don't dislike anybody.
Yeah.
You know, like, so, you know, and of course when you're dealing with that many people, you get some people who genuinely don't like each other, right? Mm-hmm. And then they're talking to you about this person, that person's talking about that person, and I'm dying inside, you know, because
I like these people.
I like everybody on some level, you know. And nobody like, you know what I mean? Like so it's not so I don't know. That's the tougher part for me, right? Mm-hmm. Is just that like these are just like I just look at them. On one level, I want to be like just, I got to hang out with like young people, right? And like just be part of that and not think in terms of age. And it's like, hey, you know, you had a good set. You had a good set. Or maybe do here's a tag for your joke. And it's just, you know, like it's an even playing field. And that's cool. But then I also can't deny the fact that, like, I'm my age, right? Mm-hmm. You know, so, like, I'm realizing, oh, well, I'm talking to this guy. He's acting like I'm his dad or something. What's this is, you know, and why is this going? Because I don't look at, like, you know what I mean? I'm just me, right? Yeah. You'll find this out as you get older, right? You'll go, why, you know, like, wait a second here. Don't call me sir. You know, that kind of thing. So,
wait, I'm not an adult. Oh, God.
Yeah.
I am an adult.
I am an adult. Maybe I am the smartest person in this conversation. Oh, God.
Yeah. So there's a...
That's a terrifying prospect. When you are the smartest person in the room about something, it's like, oh, God. Mm-hmm. When did that happen? Right? Like, I'll tell you when you're older.
Yeah, so...
Yeah. But, like, when you first kind of started out, like, do you remember, was it, like, hard to attract people to come to your show? Or
right.
Was it because there was sort of a vacuum already that you were filling that space, so were people pretty, like, enthusiastic to, like...
I can't remember a time where we did, like, we probably did, like, a little bit less than 30 comics on the first show. Mm-hmm. But right away, the pros were showing up. Like, James Kennedy was there. Boom. First show.
Great.
And Chris James. And, like, and then, like, certain people were just coming, you know, Kelly Dyer. Like, these guys were, like, just showing up regularly. And then when they, and then that's why we do the shout-outs after the show, which created more drama. But anyways, but you do a shout-out because you're like, hey, you know, like... These pros came by the show, right? And we just did that so that the other people would see it and go, hey, maybe we should go to that show, right? Mm-hmm. And then so... to answer your question, we've never done less than, I will say, 25. And then now on the regular, it's between 40 and 50.
That is a lot of people to
manage. So many people.
How long does it actually go again? It's from from 7 or from 8?
It starts at 8.
Yeah.
Like sign ups at 7.
And it goes until 1 in the morning or something?
By the time you close it all down one in the morning, I don't think we've ever gone, actually somebody's still on the stage at one in the morning. But, like, for sure past midnight, like 12:30, you know, there's somebody doing the last set. But at that point, it's funny because the energy just changes, right? Yeah. Now you're looser and you're like, well, you almost don't, because you don't care as much, like, you come with some off-the-cuff kind of stuff that you wouldn't have. You're a little bit stiffer when you got that kind of audience there, and you're like, okay, I got this prepared material.
Yeah.
I'm going to do that. And that's, you know, that's what you wanted. That's what you should do.
That seems like a comedy challenge that people could have for themselves where it's like, I'm looking at you, Katie, it's just like, take the next day off, like, shuffle your work schedule around and just do that and, like, go up at, like, midnight and see what you come up with. Like, shake out.
Oh, I've done that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. But I'll do it again. And I'll do it again.
Yeah. But it's like, that's kind of a fun challenge to put yourself
I actually ended up having a really good, the night that I was just like kept getting bumped, which, and you guys totally got me on really quickly the next week, which was great. Mm-hmm. But that one night I was like, I was frustrated. And then by the time I finally went, I almost went home and I got up and I was just like, fuck it. And I had a really loose, good set. Like it was all. That's
awesome. So you know what I mean, right?
Oh,
where it's just.
I wasn't anxious. I was like, meh. And so that energy was much different.
Sometimes
for me.
When there's a little snark in there, it can bring out some interesting.
Yeah.
But you don't, but you get these the people I don't have any patience for is like, you get guys who show up like maybe every couple months. Mm-hmm. Right. And this one dude, he was an actor for starters. So, you know, that tells you
automatic.
A little something. Yeah. And then he's like, he keeps walking over to the list, which really annoys the shit out of me, you know. Because, you know, I tell people, I said, I should just hide that book because really it's an organic thing, as we talked about from at the beginning of the show.
Yeah, trust me, I will let you know when it's time.
I'll let you know and then whatever. But this, he kept getting bumped down the list because A, I've never seen you here before. Mm-hmm. And B, you know, there are people who, you know, who like professionals and other people, plus people who, you know, the sign up process that we have where late, people say late can sign up early. Yeah. So various reasons, but anyways, and then so it wasn't that bad actually. He was actually going to come, but then me and Ali Mon were outside the venue. We're talking about something. And then he comes storming out and he says, this is bullshit. I will never come back here again. Right. And I'm like,
great.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, I'm usually don't have that attitude because I tend to try to just cool people off and say, hey, you know, we'll get you up early next week. Mm-hmm. But this guy, I'm like, oh, fuck him. You know, there's certain people where you're like, you know what?
To expend the energy.
Yeah, it's just it's just not worth it. You know, if it was somebody who was a regular, you know, who was getting, you know, kind of put up late a few weeks in a row and they were kind of upset, you know, I would want to deal with that, you know.
Yeah.
But this guy, Yeah. Who gives a shit?
Who gives a shit? And then he never came back, and then he died.
Hopefully.
As far as that know. Man's name
is, yeah.
Was yeah. Fuckhead Magoo.
Well, in my mind it is. In my heart it is.
In your heart. Your beautiful, beautiful comedy heart.
Oh, man.
Oh, man. We didn't so check good. In. What did you do this week, Chris?
Oh, what did I do this week? Yeah.
We put things on their heads.
Wait, what?
No, I was just saying we toured it all around. We normally do the check-in right at the beginning, but yeah. Now I'm checking in.
That's right. Thank you. I went to the Sunshine Coast this weekend. It was a long weekend.
At Gibson's?
Yeah, Gibson's. Mm-hmm. So my mom lives there.
Okay.
And she and Joe Dvorak put on a Story Lie episode in Gibson's.
Wow. She puts
really
those on.
Cool.
She puts them on everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. So she wanted to sort of branch out a little bit, Joe. And my mom's name is also Joe. So Katie was saying if we had went, we would be Casey and JoJo. And then I had this like vision of us singing that song like a barbershop quartet version. It'd be very pretty. I don't know.
It would be.
Yeah.
I don't know if we can. We all sing.
I don't know about Joe, but she probably can.
She strikes me as someone who could.
But yeah, she's really great, really professional, puts on a good show, mm-hmm. and we got the craft brew farm up there, Persephone, to host. And so it was like a ton of people. There was like a food truck there. Yeah, it sold out the room itself. It was another, like, you know, it was the first time that they had done stuff, so you had to kind of change the format a little bit so the, like, customers didn't really know which door they should go in. That was a bit awkward, but once we started the show, it was fine, and we got lots of walk-ins, which was really nice.
Cool.
And there were two local, like, a local playwright and a local actor, as well as Dylan Reimer, and then Joe herself, like, all did a story, and you had to guess who the liar was, and it was the local playwright who's, like, my friend's mom. And my mom emceed it, which is so cute. So she really wished that you were there, Katie, because she was like,
I want Katie to see me.
Well, she's like, I have so many questions because I know that Katie hosts her own show.
Oh, my God.
I know that she's practiced really hard, all the hosting. It's
Joe
very different.
Joe really thinks that,
like,
I'm much more talented than I am, and I love her so much for it. She's like the unquestionably supportive mom that I don't quite have. My mother loves me, but she's suspicious.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
well,
mom,
yeah.
My mom was so cute, though, because she had her, like, intros for everybody, and she's like, oh, how am I going to greet people in the show? And I'm like, oh, you could ask folks, like, who's from the Sunshine Coast and who's from elsewhere.
Right.
Like,
it's a classic.
I'm trying to give her, yeah. like, crowd work tips. I'm like, this is not a good source, but, like, I know how to stage banter
she's
a little.
She's such a
like,
sweet, sweet,
but
sincere
person. She doesn't give herself credit because she's been doing public speaking forever. Mm-hmm. And, like, in public health, that was, like, her job. She would give presentations all the time. She'd work. And I was like, Mom, it's like you're facilitating a workshop, right? You're up there. You're leading. You want to give people a little bit of structure so they're not kind of, like, worried that it's just going to go off the rails. They want to know that someone's in charge. So you kind of set them up, like, okay, it's going to go like this, this, this. We're going to ask you for some stuff, this. Hey, can I get a suggestion for these things? Blah, blah, blah. So she kind of did that. It was fun. And the show went really well, and the venue was really happy, so they're gonna do another one. They already booked the next day. Like, Joe Dvorak is just, like, on top of it. She's like, well, I have the momentum, I got everyone's email, or text, because they text you, like, results when you play the game show.
Wow.
So she's like, the next day, she's like, great, that was good. She contacted Persephone, hey, can we do it on August something? I'll find the date. And they were like, yep. And then she emailed everyone that was at the show, or texted them back, hey, if you like that, the next show's in August, like... Bada boom, bada bing. It was very professional.
That's, wow, yeah. She's really got her shit together.
Yeah.
She is super intrepid. Yeah.
Well, she's been doing so many of those shows in so many different locations. She must have her shit together.
So it's like a great, like, pop-up game show. So that was really awesome. The next day I got stuck in the ferry lineup because I never drive over to the Sunshine Coast because my mom usually just picks me up. But I brought my Jeep over because her partner, like, loves detailing cars. So he detailed my Jeep. He, like, hot buff. Waxed it.
Oh,
I know
God.
About vehicles. So I was like,
what a
fucking dummy I was, though, to, like, bring my truck over. And by the time we were finished detailing it on Monday, I, like, still wanted to swim in the ocean, which I did. And then I check and I'm like, oh God, it's the holiday Monday. Okay, 4:30 ferry's full, 6:30 ferry's full, so I guess it's 8:45 is the next boat, but I need to get in line now at, like, 4 o'clock to get in there. So I went for the swim, and then I went to Persephone's, got a six-pack, got in the huge line, and when it was just like, okay, I've got 2 hours till the next boat, feet up on the dash, reading my trash Anne Rice novel.
Oh, I love you.
And so I just, like, sat in the ferry lineup for, like, 4 hours, and it was delightful. I was very responsible about my beer intake. I had 2 beers in 4 hours, which I think
I believe
is fine.
In yep.
And then I read, most of my Anne Rice book, which is...
dreadful.
Lestat, Prince Lestat in the Realms of Atlantis.
That's right. The worst title I've ever heard.
Yeah.
It's very far removed from, like, the original books.
Yeah, she's really gone off the rails. I was talking to our friend Nicole, who came to Story Story Lie. There was a whole vampire series that she and I read as kids that it was vampires come from Atlantis, and nanobots are the ones that repair their body, which is why they're immortal. And fucking Anne Rice, this is basically what it is, too, is nanoplastics connects everything. But so it's like the spirit that inhabits all vampires is actually a ghost from Atlantis.
Oh, fuck off.
Who was sent down from space. Off.
This is just Scientology.
Man. I don't know, you know, as a Hungarian, you know, and like the original Dracula was Bela Lugosi.
Yeah.
Right? And so, I mean,
Bela
Lugosi is dead. All I mean, but this got so complicated. This is like the midi-chlorians thing from Star Wars.
Yeah.
Right? There's a certain point where, like, you know what, just keep some of the mystery.
Just blah, I'm a vampire.
Yeah, exactly. You know?
I like history and origin stories and stuff, but I'm like, we kind of got the origin story already, but then she's like, I'll go back three more levels. It's like, did you
But that's what's
to?
Wrong with the, like, the
Could
alien
you not?
Movie.
You started with ancient Egypt. Like, you're good. That's about as far back as you need to go.
No, but the ghost that inhabited them from ancient Egypt was from ancient Atlantis, and then he was sent there by aliens that look like owls.
It becomes less, like, the more you explain, the less interesting it becomes.
Yeah.
It didn't start out too good.
No,
so it's
my
not
favorite
great.
Part of all of the vampire novels was when you meet a new vampire and you get to figure out their backstory, where
right.
it's like, cause they were born in ancient Greece, and so all the stuff that they've seen over thousands of years, that's fucking fascinating to me. I love the idea of the immortal, like, seeing history change, and, like,
right.
when did they decide to be like, fuck it, I'm burying myself underground and I'll wake up in 1,000 years because I don't like this anymore. Like, I really like those stories and that kind of origin, but this is, like, ridiculous. But I sure did read it in the car for 4 hours and it was great. Because, like, I find with trash, when you, like, watch a trash show over and over or you read a trash
right.
book all at once, you just kind of get immersed into it. But as soon as I put it down now and I'm reading it, like, on my lunch break at work, I'm like, this sucks.
Yeah.
But when I'm, like, really into it, I'm like, this is awesome.
It's like a family bag of Doritos,
yeah,
right?
Exactly,
you, like,
sure.
You could eat the whole thing and be like, well, I'm ashamed, but at least it's gone.
Yeah.
If you eat, like, 3/4 of it, then you've still got the rest, and you're like, well,
and we all have those. Like, like, for me, it's, like, recently it's that Iron Fist series on Netflix.
Oh god, that looks so bad.
It's and I'm not gonna defend it to
oh, you
guys.
Don't have to.
You know,
no.
It's just like, you know,
I love trash.
But I need to see the whole thing now,
yeah.
right? Like
mm-hmm.
and people warned me and they said it's not like Daredevil, which I felt was awesome.
Yeah, I liked the first season
too.
Of Daredevil a
first
lot.
Season,
the second
first,
one was kinda weak, but
the first
really
season
the
yeah,
first.
It was hard to live up to that.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
introducing
really
too
good.
Many characters. But anyways, but yeah, Iron Fist is yes, it's bad, but I'm gonna finish it, and I want to, like, I'm hopeful. I'm also hopeful. I'm like, you know what? Like,
maybe
at the end, like, there'll be something which will make it cool,
it'll
right? And then,
somehow.
Or maybe I don't know, but whatever it is, I gotta see it through, and
yeah.
it's just my.
Yeah.
I wanted to see how they were gonna do it, and I'm gonna see it, and you guys just shut up and leave me alone.
Oh, yeah, I'm not judging you.
I don't
at
mean
all.
You. I just mean
oh.
people in
yeah.
general.
No, I'm
like
in the,
you know.
I'm in the fourth season of The Blacklist. It's
yeah.
not a good show.
Yeah.
I cannot stop.
Right.
I'm a bit of a completist with stuff too. It's
yeah.
only recently that I've been like, I can turn this off halfway through. It's okay. I don't want to have to wait it out, but I do
yeah.
anyway.
Yeah.
I do like bad things though. Sometimes I love a bad procedural. That's my favorite. Just
yeah.
like, ooh, who? How are we gonna get the guy in this episode?
Yeah.
Or
oh, I guess
I
that
love
it's
that stuff.
The bad guy is the third person we meet, just like it is in every episode. Like when I watch too many procedurals in a row, the formula becomes too obvious, and I have to switch
yeah.
to something else.
Yeah.
Right.
At Elementary, it's always the second person.
Yeah.
That you meet every single
and Lucifer,
goddamn time.
Like is always.
Oh no, maybe it was Lucifer
yeah.
that it was. It was
Elementary
yeah.
switches it up a little bit.
It's
more.
True. Not very much, but that's not
yeah.
why I like the show.
Yeah.
We like a lot of TV. Basically.
Sure.
It's
yeah,
how it turns out to
don't
be.
My other
apologize
thing,
to me, of all people.
My other thing was that it's Gemini season.
We get a little boo-boo sometimes on this
and
podcast.
There was this huge windstorm, and then I read all about the new moon in Gemini and how Gemini is, like, it's an air sign, and it's represented by the winds of change.
Oh, man.
And that storm happened right before we got the final results for the election, which is, like, very closely tied to my job, and now there's, like, a liberal minority.
Yeah.
With a NDP and perhaps a green coalition, I'm like, maybe we're gonna fucking
see those
switch it
change.
Up and like
yeah.
this whole like lefty coalition is gonna run BC for a bit. That would be very interesting. Like,
you
I'm
can
kind
always
of
hope.
And so I was making notes about oh god. So it's two things that are caught
okay.
up in it. So I'm bullet journaling, which is this like book where I've got like all these cool pictures
it's very
and
pretty.
Shit. And I got a thing that was like, do this new moon ritual and be impeccable with your words. So I was like journaling around Gemini qualities, which is like restless energy, air out stagnation, curate diverse information and explore opposing points of view. So, like, don't get stuck in your own shit. Like,
makes sense.
Hear from people on the opposite side and, like, expand your mind a little bit. Right, so I'm like, oh, I want to sharpen my, like, advocacy and, like, questioning skill set, which is why I, like, prepared some questions for you today. Oh, like,
please, yeah. Like, well, I knew so, it was leading to something.
Yeah. I love the journal.
So it was kind of fun. But then I found out. I got a bullet journal betrayal alert. I found out that most people trace their shit or print things off of the internet and just, like, paste it into their book.
You've been drawing it all.
I've been drawing it all by hand. So, like, these cool layouts, like, you look, it's like, oh, here's my week, and then you decorate it and whatever.
Other people are doing it the lazy way.
They're either printing it out from the internet. So that's why I'm like, all these bullet journals look the fucking same. Everyone does their
template.
They're fun, like, awesome, like, penmanship. I'm like, well, cool, I'm going to practice my calligraphy. Whatever, so, like, I made, like, this is my proudest, penmanship thing, and it was really fun, but it's, like, people just either trace off of their iPads, and I'm, like, that's no fun, so I got really indignant about it.
You're, like, I'm the only one doing this purely.
I know, it's not true. I'm really up my own ass about it, but it's been very helpful.
That is sort of our theme, is just be up your own ass about the things that you do.
Yeah.
That's a fun and cozy place to be.
Up your own ass. It's comfortable.
Yeah.
It's familiar.
I definitely know
but
what to expect.
But not too familiar.
But not too not familiar.
Yeah. Oh, God damn it. Too much bim bam forever.
Anyway, so yeah, that was my shit. I had a good time
that's
with it.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's good.
I plotted out.
I'm a big list guy.
Yeah.
I love lists.
Because it feels like you're accomplishing something.
Exactly. Lists and calendars are all about, like, keeping organized.
Well, that's beautiful. To-do list, right? Where it's like, I like
don't
my one more.
Do those things,
where I'm
though.
Just like, pay my tax bill. Subtask, find my tax bill.
More things to check off, right?
Yeah, exactly. But then I was like, oh shit, I need to actually find this shit so I can pay it.
I gotta find this tax
How
bill.
How was your week, Katie?
Oh my god. My week's fabulous. I'm doing really well. I got to take Friday off just because I was owed a day off because of all, I always, my day off is Monday generally, and apparently if there's a stat holiday, I accumulate 60% of a day off. On my day off, which is like, that's cool. I don't understand how unions work at all. It's very confusing, but I'm like, I'll take it.
Yeah.
So I've just like, I worked 2 whole days this week and that's it. And I was all really like out of the routine kind of, but yeah, apart from hurting my wrist and not being able to work out, it's been great.
Mm-hmm.
But I did do that. Unfortunately, I sprained or strained my wrist and had to go for
jerking it. Sorry.
Yeah, from jerking it. From straight jerking it. I just went crazy. You know, my wife's out of town, so. No, it's my left hand, actually, and I am right-handed, so no, it was not from jerking off.
But then you use the hand that you're not dominant with, so it feels like it's somebody else.
Chris, Dina, Ludwika, you rude dude. I just heard it from working out, basically. Uh-huh. I just got sort of overtired and I didn't get it.
Working it, yeah.
Working it, jerking it, you know, same diff.
Yeah.
But it had been hurting me for weeks and I didn't do anything about it and I should have because now I have to take like a week off of exercising. And I went and got acupuncture from a big giant white guy yesterday. It was great. I was just blissed out. It's like taking opiates, honestly.
Yeah,
like I felt like $1 million after and I slept. The sleep of the dead last night, even though I only got about 6 hours because I went to bed way too late, but I woke up.
Katie, sleep update alert.
Ding. Oh, yeah. Sleeping okay. That's all I got. But I woke up feeling like, all's right in the world somehow. It's just like, thanks for all those needles, white dude. I forgot his name already.
Yeah, whatever.
I was telling Chris that he looks like Michael Chiklis from The Shield.
Okay.
Just let him stick needles in my body and then put cups on my back.
Ooh, you did cupping, too?
Did you want to see my... Do you want to see how I got these scars?
Yes. Ooh, gross.
Ooh, gross.
It's like one of those vaccination things.
Yeah. But they just like 2 big cups on my back and he also cupped this part of my arm like with a little cup and he was like
tattoo?
Yeah, well it wasn't like the fire cupping. It was like the suction cup thing where you just pump it and he was like sucking it and it was my skin was all lubed up. So it was like pulling this hickey machine over it.
I saw a video like that once.
And it was like it pulled like okay. And it, like, pulled up all the fascia, and now it's, like, really loose in there. It feels really good. So it's just like, this is very weird. I feel like an octopus is giving me, like, 10 hickeys right now.
I see a lot of, like, the Chinese seniors that go to the pool at the community center always have the big cupping stuff on their back. And it's like, they all look great, and they're all, like, old and swimming and all loose and look really healthy. So I'm like, there's a whole regimen of self-care that I totally could be taking advantage of.
Yeah.
I'm only just starting to dip my toe in
there. He's all like, I'm loosening up your chi and, like, letting new stuff in. And it's like, I always try to emphasize that we really have 2 feet in each, a foot in each world, right? Like, we're very practical, very...
Pragmatic,
driven people. But... Let's get mystical every now and again, kind of thing. Like, it's just fun.
We're West Coasties, like.
Yeah, well, you're gonna get a little flaky when you
gotta get
here.
A little
on
bit.
On some level, you have to.
Yeah,
just a little
bit nippy. Right? Why resist? Yeah. Why not yield? Why not take the yielding path?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Otherwise, you'd be on the other coast, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would be in Toronto or something like that and just being businessmen.
No, thanks. That's what you do when you move to Toronto.
You turn into a businessman. They handcuff it to your wrist. It's yours forever now.
Oh, shit.
So the acupuncture is like, yeah, I'm just freeing up your chi. I'm like, okay, whatever. I'm just thinking, like, you know, the Western explanation for acupuncture. I'm like, this is all fine. But then last night I had so many crazy dreams, and I don't dream in my sleep very often. Like, almost never. I don't know if it's because I take antidepressants or something, but it was like vivid and colorful and all this stuff. It's like, well, maybe loosened up my chi. I don't fucking know.
Yeah.
I don't know what my chi's up to these days. It's loose. It's flowing.
When I took Aikido for that 2 month stretch that I took Aikido, I was, you know, learning how to play with your chi and like using that to like help you do somersaults and shit. It's pretty cool.
Oh.
Just like, it's all about momentum.
Did
and
you Reiki yourself
flow.
Into a somersault?
I did not Reiki myself. Reiki fucking sucks. I will stand by that statement. Watch next week. It'll be like, oh, I got Reiki. And it was so good.
It was amazing.
That's where that's some kind of touching.
They don't touch you. They just hover.
Oh,
they
right.
just hover over. And you all can feel like the warm, like whatever.
Yeah.
It's like kind of neat.
Weird.
But like, there's a person that Reikis people at a bus stop. And I think that's very invasive and rude. It's like,
you don't play with people's energies.
Yeah. It's like opening a sandwich on the bus. It's too pervasive. It's just like,
get out of my chi.
Full circle back to eating on the bus. Don't eat a sandwich on the bus. Don't fucking Reiki me on the bus.
Yeah, well, I guess that's the thesis of this episode. Ed, do you have any updates for your life this week? I mean, everybody's just getting to the road and podcast life.
Well, it was a good comedy week because I was at the Comedy Mix, which is, you know, great. It's always great when you have a nice set there, you know.
Oh,
so
good. You had a good set then?
Yeah,
did
you
do Aggressively Bisexual?
Yes.
Good.
Yes, I finished with that. And so, no, it was, and it's always nice to do material like that in like a kind of a more established kind of room, you know, because you feel like now you walked a little bit of a line and you got away with it in a way.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, like, it's been so tested that bit that now.
Yeah, it's a good bit.
So,
I like
but
it
now
lot.
It's like a strong thing to end on or whatever.
Yeah,
I haven't seen you in a while. This is
I like to, I like to elbow people when he's telling that joke. I'm like, this joke is about me.
It really is. It's funny. I was thinking about that on the way over. Like, where did the inspiration come from? You know, just,
Who else could you describe as aggressively bisexual in the comedy scene, except for maybe Emma Cooper?
Yeah, well, I mean, it does describe a lot of people just generally in town.
Yeah,
but,
I know lots of people
but,
like that in town.
Sure. But,
gender fluid and aggressively bisexual. I'm like, yep, that sounds like me for sure. I think it's a really funny joke. I like, I've been hearing some good ones. Like, I remember how I met everybody in the comedy scene was just by basically being very sensitive on the forum and like saying something and then having people either agree with me or not agree with me,
right,
for better or for worse, whatever. But nowadays, like, I really do think there's a better quality of joke coming from, like doing something kind of edgy. It's less like, I don't fucking care about anyone's feelings, here's a joke. It's like, can you take people to discomfort with the joke and then yank it back because you're actually not a dick?
Well, my, like, the whole point of view of, like, pretty much everything I'm writing now is just on some level making fun of myself, right? And I think if people understand that, then it's cool, right?
Totally.
The language is kind of secondary. It's how you use the language. And if you've communicated the fact that, you know, you're the jerk or the loser or the weirdo or whatever.
You're the
whatever.
Butt of the joke.
Yeah, you're the butt of the joke.
High status, low status.
Then it's cool. Like, because people want to laugh.
Yeah.
I mean, you will get into rooms where people go there possibly, I don't agree with it, to be offended, maybe, but I don't think so. I think everybody goes to laugh.
Yeah.
And if you, and it's very, it feels very rewarding to walk, to be in a room with a lot of very diverse people, tell a joke that could have gone sideways, but they got it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Totally.
You know, that's what that's the best feeling, you know, because I don't mind low hanging fruit. I'll grab it every day of the week, man. But
there's nothing wrong with an easy joke if it's funny.
Yeah. And so, but at the same time, that's not the biggest, you know, satisfaction of joke writing and joke telling, right?
It's good to have a few of those in there, you know, I think.
Oh, too. And I got lots.
And it keeps your momentum, right, too, right? You want to
Yeah. I got the stuff I know that works, but I don't always want to put it all together because it's too much of the same thing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
The thing that works, it's just like, I know what I'm about, everybody. This is like, this is on purpose, and I know what you're thinking. That's all it is. I really need to branch out, but like, it works for me.
That's so a good it's hard place to start, you know?
It is a good place to start, especially in your first like 5-10, if you're doing a longer set. It's like, everybody make fun of me, and now I can say other things. Mm-hmm. Who I think like Katie Ellen Humphries is particularly good at that.
Yeah.
Because she's just like, comes out like, I'm a weirdo. Yeah. And then you're like, you are, okay. And then you just sort of proceed with that, and then you really are on board.
And then you're just charmed forever.
You're charmed forever by her long talons and her beautiful smile.
Yeah.
Which is great. But yeah, you also, so you did Comedy Mix.
Comedy Mix, and then I did Gavin's show at Railway, which was nice because I got to see the new Railway.
Gavin Matz,
yeah.
I want to go on a Tuesday, because like, oh man, I love the Railway Club so much, and the guys that are running it, it's not a Donnelly pub, it's just a guy from Donnelly Group that
loves it. It's quite rough.
Yeah.
Compared to other Donnelly stuff. So
it's not part of their slick
thing. And the Mermaid Room is, for the most part, intact.
Yeah.
That great bar is there.
Oh, I love that.
And they actually put alcohol up there with the mirror, and it looks great.
Oh, good.
So
they put the train back there, too, so I can buy at a train car back there again, which I'm really excited about.
Yeah, yeah. So that was good. And then last night, and this is another guy, a showrunner, I got to give a big shout out to Scott Aisman. Because that guy knows how to book a show. He'll even go against the grain, right? Like, he'll do stuff like, hey, I like this comic, I want to put him on the show, right? And I'm like, well, if you like him, put him on. It's your damn show, man. Put him on your show. And then it just works out great, you know? And then so he had, like, a lineup of, like, new comics and some, you know, slightly more experienced people like myself and then Malia headline. And it was a packed room. Like, so it was at Manchester Pub. And that's a cavernous place. It's basically Cypress and Broadway. It's kind of where all those print shops are.
Oh, yeah,
you
used to work right there, yeah. It was the Fog and Suds.
Right, it was the Fog and Suds prior to that. And
okay.
Yeah.
And it's like, you look at, oh, this is terrible for comedy, right?
Yeah.
But he filled the room, and it did start a bit slow in terms of people's focus, but man, once it got going, that throng was like watching it, and they were into it.
I should have gone. Scotty asked me if I would open the show. And I just, like, I didn't think I could get out there.
And I'm not, this is just Daddy telling you this. Next time, next time Scotty or any of these guys who can do you a favor down the road ask you to do something, you do it.
You do it, yeah.
Because, you know, and the thing is, you know, those have been really good shows. I went to the first, and it was at some it used to be a church.
Did they jump venue? It's like.
Yeah, it's a different venue every time. He's going to do one at 7 at some point. But it's been at different venues. He books them well. It's a good balance of different people. And then also lots of asses in the seats, man. And
cool.
Yeah.
His ability to just move people to come to shows I need to find out his secrets.
I know. I would like to do that.
He's a very nice man.
He's a very nice man.
He's a total nut bar.
And he's a giver though. You know
it's
what
true.
I mean?
Oh,
we're
he's
talking
the most
about givers,
generous,
givers and takers. And so
Kooky bananas, and I adore him. He's just great.
Right. And he's a character, and I love characters.
Well, that's it, right? Like he's a character. He's very like, there's almost more inside of him than his skin can contain.
Right.
Kind of. Like, he's so condensed, and he has so much energy, and he's so tan all the time. It's just like, you just know what's up somehow. Like, you are on a different plane of existence than the rest of us, but whatever you're tapped into is working.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of positive energy coming off of Scotty, and I love
him. He's a delightful human being.
And, so anyways, that was last night. Yeah, and yesterday was a great day because the article came out, and then we did the show, and so it was just a good comedy week. So.
Ed Konia, riding high.
Yeah.
Riding high. Well, it's always good to end on a good note.
Can we plug some stuff? You've got a Facebook group for Stand Up and
Deliver. Yeah, so the Facebook group is called Stand Up and Deliver Comedy Open Mic.
That's a very sensible name for it to have.
And it's every Wednesday?
It's every Wednesday, and I want to particularly, I don't know when this podcast is coming out.
It's going to come out on Tuesday.
Oh, great. So in time. For our 2-year anniversary, which is on June 7th.
Hey, congratulations.
Yeah, thank
Righteous.
You. Yeah, I mean, it feels like, you know, once you do it every week, it feels like 4 years, not 2 years.
But, tell us about it.
Yeah.
Hey, now.
Hey. Have a really good time, but it definitely feels like we've been doing this for longer than a year.
Yeah, for sure. Well, thank you so much for being on the show, Ed.
Oh, man, this is fun.
Yeah, all right.
We'll see you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.